We're going to turn tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 through 5. Paul said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And so we are continuing our lessons on the good fight of faith. And this lesson tonight will be entitled "The Battle of the Mind." Everybody say, "The Battle of the Mind." Amen. This is the fifth lesson in this series, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to spend time reviewing all of the other lessons, but I would recommend that you go to our website, harvestm.com, and listen to the other lessons, because we are in a fight, and it's the good fight of faith, but this fight is worth it. In fact, everything depends on it, and with God's help, we are going to win. Amen. In our text tonight, Paul, he describes the most important battle that we will ever face. It is the most important battle that we will ever face. It's not a war fought with carnal weapons. It's not a war of the flesh. This is an invisible war. And sometimes this battle is vicious. It's intense. It rages on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's the battle of the mind, the battle of the mind. Our enemy is not in the flesh. The devil does not face us in the flesh, but he desires to destroy us in our thoughts. It's his desire to control our thoughts. It's his desire to win this war against God through controlling us. And if he can conquer our mind, then he can pull us away from the plan that God has for our life. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, he said, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ." In other words, Paul said, he said, "I fear that somehow, just as the serpent deceived Eve, just like his words led her astray, that your minds would be corrupted and deceived and seduced and drawn away from the simplicity that is in Christ." The serpent was able to get into Eve's mind. He was able to mess with her thoughts, and that's where she lost the battle, and that's where the good fight of faith is going to either be won or lost in our lives. We have got to win this battle of the mind. So from our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." What is our job if we are going to win this battle? Paul says that we're to pull down strongholds. What are strongholds? Strongholds are our mindsets, ways of thinking. They are arguments that stand against the knowledge of God. Really, strongholds are our mental blocks. They're ways of thinking that they must be pulled down if we are going to win this battle of the mind. What are some of these strongholds? Well, they could be fear, guilt, unforgiveness, could be insecurity or doubt. It may be a worldview that is not based on the Word of God. There's all sorts of philosophies and ways of thought in our world that they're contrary to the Word of God. And those things, those worldviews, can become strongholds in our minds. And they impact us. They shape our decisions. They control our actions. They direct our lives. We have to be sure that we have the mind of Christ and not the mind of this world. One of the primary ways the devil fights us is through deception. And he tries to get us to believe in things that are not true. Jesus, he spoke very strongly to the people in John chapter 8, verse 44. He said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." The devil is a liar. He is a liar and the father of lies. How do you know that the devil is lying? How do you know that he's telling you something that is untrue? Because whenever he's speaking, he's lying. The truth is not in him, but he will try over and over again to get us to believe things that aren't true. Somebody said it like this: if it would be better for the devil to tell the truth, he still couldn't, because the truth is not in him. He'll tell us false things about ourselves. He'll tell us things about others, about things going on in the world around us. And he'll bombard our minds with the clever attack of little nagging thoughts and suspicions and fears and worries. And I want to tell you, he does his best to defeat us in our thinking and to confuse us as to what is really true. That's why it is so critical for us to learn how to renew our minds with God's word. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it tells us, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're going to pray in just a few moments that God would help us to not be conformed to this world, but that he would transform us and that he would renew our minds so that we can be in his will for our lives. You see, the scary thing is that sometimes we may not even be aware of the strongholds in our mind. We may not understand the ways of thinking that have us bound. They're controlling our lives. They're holding back our faith. They're literally stopping the will of God in our lives. And so we have got to have God's Spirit to renew our minds, to cleanse us, to wash us, to purify our thinking, to give us the mind of Christ. I want to talk about fear for just a few moments. Because in this situation that we're in our world right now, there's a lot of room for fear to take hold of our lives. There's fear of this sickness. Come on, we've all felt it. We've all felt this fear. There's fear of the economic effects. There's fear of the unknown. We don't know exactly what is going to happen, and we can't control it, and we can't fix this ourselves. There's fear. Fear is everywhere in this. And I tell you, it's in the news. It's on social media. If you pay any attention to the news reports, they focus on fear. And everywhere we look, there is fear. Everything we hear proclaims fear. It's all over right now. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Fear, it says, hath torment. Fear hath torment. That's the truth. That's the truth. There's something that's tormenting about fear. There's no peace in it, and there's no relief. There's no comfort in. And fear hath torment. It was just a few weeks ago that it was after Sunday. We had regular church still, and we went home. And of course, our service is a little later than some, but I was tired. And so I laid down, just took a real brief nap, and I didn't want to sleep too long because I wanted to be able to go back to bed that night. But I can remember, it was just a few weeks ago, I can remember waking up and all of a sudden this sense of fear, just dread, this hopelessness came over me. I want to tell you, it was a tormenting thing. It was a tormenting thing. Fear hath torment. And people deal with all kinds of fears, and people have a lot of fear right now. There's a lot of fear in this world. Fear hath torment. If you go and research all the fears out there, which I do not recommend that you do that, okay, because there's pages and pages and pages of different fears, but most of them aren't anything to be afraid of, but a few of them might would scare you, you know. But anyway, there is even a phobophobia, which is the fear of being afraid. There's even a fear of being afraid. That reminds me of the quote from Franklin D. Roosevelt, who said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." And that really is the truth. When we are filled with God's Spirit, perfect love casteth out fear. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." If you are battling fear, the first thing you need the power of the Holy Ghost. You need the power of God's Spirit. Don't face this in your own strength, but you need God's power. You need the love of God. You need to be born again and filled with His Spirit. And if you've been born again of the water and of the Spirit, then we need to stand on God's Word, and we need to fight this battle with fear in our minds. 2 Timothy 1 and 7, very familiar scripture. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." If you are fighting the spirit of fear in your life, I want to tell you that is not from God. God has not given that to you. That is an attack from Satan. Fear is a spirit that the enemy uses to try to control God's people and to try to keep us from doing the work that God has called us to do. God has not given you that spirit of fear. That is not from the Lord. But He's given us power and of love and of a sound mind. What does it mean to have a sound mind? If you'll research that, it means to have a disciplined mind, to have a trained mind. This is the good fight of faith, and we need to train our minds. We need to discipline our minds so that we can win this fight. Our thoughts can either make us or break us. What controls our mind controls our life. 90% of the time, if somebody wants to change something about their life, it has to start with a change in their way of thinking. Proverbs 23 and 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." There is power in our thinking. And that's why the enemy fights us so hard in our minds. That's the primary battlefield in this good fight of faith. But I want to tell you, we can win this battle. God has ordained that we would have the power to win this, and we are going to win. Amen. Everybody say, we are going to win. Let me give us some ways that we're going to win this battle of our minds. First of all, we have to remember this. Not everything we think is true. Turn to somebody and say, not everything you think is true. Now, that's a pretty big deal because we naturally tend to think that, well, if we're thinking something, it must be true. But just because we think it doesn't make it true. The enemy, he will bombard us with thoughts that are not true. And he'll tell you that you can't live for God, that your family can't be saved, that you can't overcome sin, that you can't be used of God, that he'll tell you, you can't come through this trial. You're not going to make it. Those things are not true. But he'll send some of those thoughts to us, and if we're not careful, we'll accept them into our mind. This world will put suggestions in our thoughts and things that are false. Even our flesh will talk to us in ways that are not true, and we can even lie to ourselves. Just because we get a thought in our mind does not mean that it is correct. Not everything we think is true. But if the enemy can get us to believe a lie, then he can get us off track. He can get us confused. He can trap us in sin. And he can form a stronghold in our mind, a mind block to where our thinking has us bound. So what are we supposed to do? We have got to guard our minds. We've got to guard our minds. Our text in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Casting down imaginations. In the Greek, it speaks of mindsets, casting down mindsets, ways of thinking, strongholds in our mind. We can develop ways of thinking that are based on everything that we've observed in life. Well, you know, things happen to us, and so we form conclusions in our mind, and we think it's true. And those imaginations might really make sense in our intellect. But we need a washing of the Word of God so that we can cast down those imaginations and those mindsets. Otherwise, the enemy is going to use those things to defeat the good things that God wants to do in our life. So we've got to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. If you study the Greek language there, it actually refers to spontaneous thoughts. Those are things that can get us into trouble. Spontaneous thoughts, things that just pop into our minds. Something that we think when we're in the middle of a situation. Emotions. Feelings. Did you know emotions and feelings will lie to us? They will lie to us. We've been in the middle of some very trying times in our world here over the last couple of weeks, and there's a lot of emotions. There's a lot of feelings that are coming. There's a lot of stress and anxiety. But we have to make sure that we're keeping those spontaneous thoughts in captivity to the obedience of Christ. I've told this story before of how one time we went hunting. I took my two boys, and we were with my father, and we went hunting, and Dad took one of the boys, and I took the other one, and we both kind of split up and went and sat down in the woods, and we were there hunting, and we were, you know, being still, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw my boy. He was reaching up and he was grabbing, he was doing something really strange. He was grabbing something and he was acting like he was throwing it down. And I thought, what is he doing here? And my wife had been teaching him from the verses of that scripture. And she said, you've got to take control. You got to cast down imaginations. And so he was literally doing, I don't know what crisis was plaguing his five-year-old little mind there, but it was something serious, and he took the Word of God serious. He was taking authority over it, and he was casting that thing down. Somebody today, you need to get some childlike faith just like that. And you need to stand on the word of God, and you need to get victory in this battle of the mind that you are in. And you need to take authority over some things that are not true, some things that the devil has spoken to you, some things that emotions and feelings are trying to put upon you. Those things are not true, and you need to take authority over that and cast that down and take authority over it and stand for truth. Praise the Lord. I love Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 through 8. It says, be careful for nothing. What a challenge to us. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. That's what the word of God says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He goes on, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We've got to guard our minds. How do we do that? We pray about everything. We pray about everything. If we were to pray as much as we worry, we'd have a whole lot less to worry about, wouldn't we? So we've got to pray about everything. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And then we are to fix our thoughts on things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, we guard our minds. So we don't let the enemy in. We've got to be careful about what is allowed to enter our mind. Don't let your mind dwell on things that are not true. If you think about that long enough, all of a sudden you'll begin to convince yourself those things are true. Don't allow that to happen. Don't let your mind dwell on things that are not true, but focus on the things that are true. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is true. We need to filter everything that comes into our mind. We've got to filter every thought through the Word of God. And if it does not match up with what God's word, then do not let that thought stay, but take it captive and cast it down. Amen. Take it captive. Don't let it stay there. Filter it through the word of God. If it does not match up with God's word, take it captive and cast it down. Now, in order to know that, if it matches with God's word or not, we've got to know God's word. That's when you're fighting a battle of the mind, it's so important. You need to be reading the word of God. You need to know the Word of God. You need to be studying it. You need to be listening to teaching and preaching of the Word of God and memorizing it and whatever we can do to get in the Word of God. It's how we guard our minds. Praise and worship are powerful ways to change our outlook on life. The enemy wants to steal your praise. He wants to steal your worship, especially in a time like this. If you will look at the life of Job, every time a bad report would come, look what Job would do. Job would, once again, every bad report that came, he would put his trust in the Lord. He would still worship God. He said in chapter 23, verses 8 through 10, he said, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But then he says, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Can you imagine in that moment how God's heart leapt at the praise and the worship that Job gave him when all else seemed lost? Amen. There is power in praise and in worship. In conclusion today, I want to tell you about something in psychology. They have something called replacement therapy. Now, I'm not a psychologist, but in my humble understanding, replacement therapy is this. When people are struggling with certain thoughts or actions that are harmful or damaging, they will teach them, when they have those thoughts or want to do those things, that they replace them with other thoughts or other actions. And you know what? That works for spiritual things too. In fact, it's exactly what we're talking here about here tonight. And the next time that you realize that you're fighting a battle in your mind and you're facing thoughts that are not true and thoughts that are full of doubt and fear and unbelief, you need to take those negative thoughts, those untruthful thoughts, those damaging thoughts, and you need to cast those things down. After all, it's your mind. It's your mind. And you can control what is allowed to stay in your mind. Take those thoughts into captivity and cast them down and focus on the things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. I want to tell you, this is a battle worth fighting, and we can win this with God's help. God means for you to live in victory over fear and doubt and unbelief. The enemy, he wants you to be focused on things that are not true. But choose instead to focus on the Word of God, and let's win this battle of our mind. Amen. We're fighting a good fight of faith. And I want to tell you, this is the major place that we will fight this battle, but you can win this. You can stand on the Word of God, and we are going to come through in victory. Right now, we're going to pray. We're going to pray that God would replace that spirit of fear that's trying to attack your mind. And we're going to ask God to give you peace that passeth understanding. We're going to ask the Lord to bring comfort. We're going to ask the Lord to help you to have a sound mind, a disciplined mind, a trained mind, so that we can win this battle. Amen. Would you pray right where you are there? Would you gather together? And let's pray and ask God to touch our minds and give us victory tonight. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the promises of your word. We thank you for the anointing that we feel here right now in your word. And I pray, God, that you would touch every single person right now that is watching, that is listening. I pray, God, that you would minister to them. I pray that you would touch them, touch their mind right now, touch their thinking, Lord, touch their thoughts. Lord, you see the things those things that are trying to stand against you, against your word, against the promises of God. Lord, you see the attack of the enemy that wants to hold them back from the promises that you have for them. Lord, we take authority over it right now. We rebuke the spirit of fear in Jesus' name. God, you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we claim that right now. Now, in Jesus' name, we rebuke fear and unbelief and doubt. We rebuke the terror, God, that wants to come. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you would bring peace that passeth understanding. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to focus on the things that are lovely and of a good report. I pray that you'd help us to focus on the things that are true, to stand on the word of God, to declare what is true, God, and not to allow the things that are untrue to bombard our thinking. I pray that you would give us victory in our minds tonight. We praise you and we worship you for it, Lord. We glorify you for it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can overcome this. You can win the battle of the mind. You don't have to be controlled by doubt and fear. You don't have to be controlled by anxiety and panic attacks. You can have authority over those things. And we are praying with you that God would give you peace that passeth understanding. Amen. I'm thankful that we can trust in the Lord. I'm thankful that we can stand on his word and his promises today. Remember, don't focus on things that are untrue. Don't focus on things that are fearful, but focus on things that are true, that are honest, they're just, they're pure, they're lovely, of good report. Amen. And definitely we need to do that during this time. Amen. God is in control. God is in control. Amen. And you're in the palm of his hand, and you trust that God knows the future, and you thank him for that every day. God, I may not know what else to thank you for, but I'm thankful that you know what the future holds, and you're going to take care of us, and you're going to work in our lives, and you're going to bring us through this. Amen. We love you and appreciate you, and we're looking forward to Friday night. We're going to have a great time hanging out on Zoom, and we pray that it's a good time of fellowship. Friday night, 8 p.m. Please don't miss that. We'll be emailing the login information, and you can either log in using the camera on your phone or your tablet or a computer, or you can call in using your telephone and just listen through audio. So we're going to have a great time Friday night at 8 p.m. If you need any questions, have any questions or need help setting that up, please contact us. But until then, God bless you. God keep you. Let's win this battle of the mind.